Welcome to Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections through the commonality of parenting. Exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics. This week on the Sounding Board Parenting podcast, we are blessed to be joined by Emma Campbell. Emma believes that the role she plays first and foremost in life is being mama to a beautiful nearly two-year-old boy, Oscar. Emma is also a purpose and business coach through her business, Find That Thing, which is playing a big role in the personal transformation of many lives. That's not even including the impact she's having as a performance and leadership coach for an awesome company. And on top of all that, Emma is still finding time to connect with her husband, Alex, and a group of friends who she describes as absolutely legendary. We kick off this episode with Emma describing how parenting has changed her life, which may just expand your perspective too. Let's jump in.
How has parenting changed my life? It's a funny one because I feel like it's changed my life in really subtle ways, which then impact your life in such larger ways. And I think one of the key ideas that comes up for me is around the beauty of presence and of being in the moment, because that is one thing that just absolutely blows my mind, is how natural being present and in the moment it is for a kid. Like they are so curious and transfixed by everything in life, and they help you slow down, and they help you really appreciate the small things. They help you really take in like the beauty of a moment that we can so quickly and easily just take for granted. And they have, or definitely Oscar has helped me reappreciate the beauty of love and the power of love, which is something that I feel like in our world today, we can get really distracted by achieving and, you know, setting goals and, I don't know, trying to make more money or trying to get ahead in our career or trying to meet all the demands of our life. And, you know, our focus can really shift away from one of the most beautiful and powerful things in the world, which is like that beautiful, nourishing experience of love. And kids just, they ooze it and they want it and they give it, and it's just like all around them. And I feel like it's the most beautiful emotion, and it's also one of the most healing emotions that I think more of the world needs. It's such a simple thing, but it's such a powerful and beautiful thing that I feel like it can completely combat and counter any feelings of fear and anxiety and stress and all of those sort of negative emotions. When love comes into the picture, it's like it pushes all of that out. So I feel like they're probably the two key things that parenting has really taught me, is remind me about the beauty of presence and the beauty of love. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's a showstopper.
Getting right in there from the get-go.
But 2 minutes in and we could probably call it there. No, that is beautifully said, and I appreciate you being so open and honest as well, and want to acknowledge you for that. And it's interesting, what you started to touch on is something I was a part of a conversation yesterday actually on the topic, and it sort of came out that children, similar to what you said, can be our greatest teachers in a lot of ways. There are so many lessons there that they are, whether they know it or not, but they are naturally teaching us. Like you said, the whole slow down lesson is a big one, I think, that we let pass us. There's many opportunities to learn from our kids. For example, Oscar, in subtle ways, through asking me questions and just showing that curiosity, that's a lesson in itself. It's amazing how many lessons that you can learn from these beings. And at the end of the day, the other part that we touched on in this conversation yesterday. You've really got me going on off tangent here, I suppose, but was around just those lessons that these little beings, that at the end of the day, when we are born, in a lot of ways, we are born naturally creative, we are born naturally curious, we are born naturally resourceful, and most importantly, we're born naturally whole. We're a whole person, we're a whole being. And it's what takes place after that, from my point of view, and this could be totally different tomorrow, but right now in this moment, from my point of view, it's what happens after that that tends to change that. It either empowers us in terms of our experiences, our environment, the people we're around, or it can take us down different paths as well. I'm interested to know your thoughts around all of that.
Yeah, and I feel really strongly about this area. I'm so glad that you brought it up. There's an awesome quote who I've forgotten who actually said the quote. I'll have to look it up after, but it was remembering who you were before the world told you who you should be. And I remember when I first read that, I just thought, you know, that there's so much weight and there's so much beauty to that. This knowing and this certainty and this beauty that we have when we're kids, and these strong desires and these strong wants and needs, like, you know, kids have a pretty strong sense of what they want and don't want. And as we go through life, we kind of lose a bit of a sense of that because we encounter everything that the world wants us to be and everything that the world needs us to be, whether that's the school system, whether that's the parenting styles that we come into. We get told from quite a young age what we should do and what looks right and what's seen as successful and what we should be striving for and what will look impressive, what's going to get status, what's going to get recognition. And we start to learn all these rules about how we should be, as opposed to, and like sort of start to let go of who that person is that we were. And I, in my work as a purpose discovery and passion coach, you know, really helping people reconnect back to who they really are and what they really want, it's like kind of a bit of a process of unlearning, like unlearning all of the external expectations on us and coming back to what, like, our heart and our soul and our, you know, inner sense of selves really wants. So I feel like I've gone on a bit of a tangent on your question, but I feel really, really strongly about this, in that when we're young, before we have all these mental models sort of placed on top of us, we do have a really strong spirit and we do have a really strong sense of what we want. And one of the questions I often ask my coaching clients is, what do you want? What do you want?
And it's not just once, it's over and over again.
That's right. Because it's a muscle that so many people have not exercised for years and years and years, is asking the question, what do you truly want? As opposed to, what do you think you should do? And the amount of times that I just get a dumbstruck face of, you know, someone who's actually never asked themselves that question. But when we're kids, we know exactly what we want, and we're really, really strong with that particular muscle of knowing what our heart wants and what our intuition is telling us. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think it is that process of unlearning in order to remember who you really were.
It's interesting because it seems as though they simply follow what gives them energy. And it's almost become a bit of a mantra for myself personally lately, in terms of just being able to come back to that at any crossroads that I may face, whether it's in my day, over my week, whether I'm planning something from a business point of view, a personal point of view. It's just coming back to follow what gives me energy. And whether we talk intuition, innate intelligence, sixth sense, whatever it might be, like it seems as though we all have access to it. However, there is a point, like you mentioned, as we grow older, as it seems, we tend to start to add all these shoulds. So if I want to follow what gives me energy, then I need to do this first, and then do this, and then do this. And we sort of drift away from what actually we started with in the first place, which kids seem to have this ability to not have those obstacles or obstructions or whatever you want to call it. It's really interesting.
They follow the joy, right? They follow the curiosity, they follow their energy, whatever, you know, not that that necessarily is always going to lead them in the right direction.
Those but impulses.
There is that. That's right. You know, after our very heavy night this morning, all Oscar wanted was the Wiggles. So there's those sort of points that you kind of go, okay, yeah, I know that your want and your desire is pointing you towards the Wiggles. And yes, the Wiggles are pretty fun, but that's when the kind of the boundary setting and all of those sorts of things start to come in as well. So it's an interesting balance.
Yeah, and it's I don't know if anyone's cracked the code of it yet as well. If they have, I'd love to meet them or at least learn a bit more about how they got to that, because I have a sneaky suspicion that we're all going to be challenged by that for the entirety of our lives, both as parents but in general day-to-day life as well. And I'm interested as well to go back a little bit now and learn about the story behind the moment you found out you were going to be a mum for the first time.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a funny day, actually. Had taken the pregnancy test and I think had looked at it, glanced at it really quickly and saw that then I think it had said negative, and so popped it back on my bench top and then went back to sleep. And then about 10, 15 minutes later, I re-got back up, looked at it again and saw the double lines or whatever the mark was that said it was pregnant. And I just went, oh my God, and rolled over and just, I think I was so speechless that I couldn't even use words to wake up my husband. I just poked him. And then just like put the pregnancy test in his face. And I was just like, oh my gosh.
What a wake up call.
Oh my gosh. I know literally. Right. And that day in itself, that's probably the part that I really remember, because I think it was around the time of my birthday or someone else's birthday. So it was a real packed full day of back-to-back like birthday celebration, like birthday breakfast in the morning, work all day long. We had a launch for this new technology app that we were launching that particular evening. And so I remember just kind of carrying all this excitement and also a little bit of anxiety, if I'm honest, like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, because your life changes in an instant in that particular moment. And I remember actually finding it a little bit of a tricky day because I didn't have much time to process the news, and it's such big news that you almost want to be able to sit with your partner and, you know, have a coffee and celebrate. And I remember I had to be out the door within 5 minutes of sort of finding out that news. So while it was a really exciting day, it was also a really overwhelming day, and all I wanted to do was hang out with my husband and he kind of like digest the news together. But yeah, that only got to happen the next day.
how was that next day then, to be able to be with your hubby Alex and just let that sink in somewhat?
Do you know what? If I'm really honest, I can't even remember the next day. I think I slightly remember it being really nice and really beautiful, but still lots of mixed emotions, because I think it, particularly maybe for the female, and I can't speak for the guys out there, but you know, even your lifestyle changes in an instant. There's no more drinking wine. There's, you know, cancelling out particular types of food. there's knowing that the first 3 months you're not supposed to tell anyone and little things like that. So I remember feeling super, super excited, but also it was such a new world. So, so much uncertainty that there was a little bit of sort of, yeah, fear and anxiety in there at the same time as well.
It's something, yeah, like you, even what you were describing there, I can't comprehend whatsoever, being a male in a lot of ways. And personally, and I'm not sure how Alex found it, I've talked to a few other men that have gone through, obviously, having their partner go through pregnancy. And it can be, that can be quite a struggle. I found it a bit of a struggle early on, was that uncertainty. And it felt compounded in a lot of ways, being the first time. Like any first experience is daunting, let alone going through that pregnancy for the first time together, and just not being able to, because we have this we're so inclined as men to be able to tangibly help and not fix, because it's not a situation that can be fixed, but just to support, if you know what I mean. And just 100%. Being able to that was definitely a struggle early on, and I'm very fortunate, like you know, to have a very strong communicator and an awesome life partner in Jess, who was great for me personally, even though she was the one that was carrying our child, to be able to give me insight along the way into, one, how I can best support, but also what she was going through as well. How did you find that all with Alex, and what's your thoughts on, it's probably a two-part question, how did Alex go through all that from your point of view, and what's your thoughts on how men can best support their partners through that time?
Yeah, such a good question. So, first of all, I think Alex has been absolutely incredible, given the emotional ups and downs that can sometimes happen during pregnancy, which I know all too well because I've got baby number two on the way at the moment. And I wish I could remember the quote from Alex around how to, I don't like to use the word deal with pregnant women, but how to support pregnant women during their phase. And I think he was advising one of his mates that was had a pregnant wife as well. And I think he said something around the lines of just, she's always right, or never challenge her, or just let her go, or something along those lines. So he's very, very easy on me during pregnancy, and he's very supportive and very beautiful. So I'm very, very grateful and appreciative of his pregnancy parenting style during this time.
Sounds like he should write a book or something.
I know. He's very patient. So that has been really, really lovely. And he just takes my emotional ups and downs in his strides. So he's a very, very good rock in that sense, for someone like me who can get very excited and then also have my days where I'm not so excited. So that has been really, really nice. So I don't know if I necessarily have any really best practice advice for how to look after a pregnant wife who might be going through emotional ups and downs, apart from probably what you said is, don't try and solve it. Just be there for her, because most of the time she just wants to be heard. She probably just wants to get all of those thoughts out so that they're not in her head, or get the emotions out so that they're not in her body. And if you can do that, and if you can just sit with her in that space during that time, then you're probably ticking all the boxes, or at least 9 out of 10 of the boxes.
I think that's really, really well said. I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm interested to know as well, from your point of view, what sort of challenges have you faced along the way in your parenting journey?
Yeah, good question. Gosh, what's the biggest one? I mean, the first one that comes to mind is probably sleep. I think sleep is, like, particularly during those first however many months, I think Oscar's a pretty good sleeper now, but maybe before 5-6 months, there was a period there where sleep was a rarity. And I think it really makes you appreciate just, first of all, how precious sleep is when you do get it, and how much it can impact you the next day in your mental state and all of those sorts of things. So I think that's probably been the biggest challenge. Like, the other ones probably haven't been, they've all been things that I've been able to maybe move past, but I reckon sleep is kind of that core and that crux that just almost impacts everything else in your life. I think Alex and I are a pretty good team in terms of being able to manage the multiple priorities in life and work together in that sort of instance. But if there was another challenge there, it's probably about, you know, having enough time, enough quality time that you're with your child, that you're with your son, and you're really present in the moment with them, and having enough time with your partner in a, you know, one-to-one sense, as opposed to just being parents, but actually being, you know, partners in a relationship. And I think that's a challenge that we're probably working through bit by bit every single day, and which no doubt will become an even bigger challenge once baby number two comes into the play. But yeah, I'd say they're probably the two key ones, is time and sleep.
definitely yeah. Resonate with that for, yeah, sure. You mentioned they're working on it day to day, and it potentially just being something that you guys will always be working on. I believe we will always be working on it personally as well. How have you worked on it? Is there anything that stands out to you, whether it's from the sleep aspect or the quality time point of view, that's played a part in making progress in those areas for you guys?
Yes, such a good question. You're such a coach, Sean. I love it. It's like a little mini coaching session for me as well. So I reckon, and this will probably sound like quite a standard answer, but something that, gosh, you can't prioritize enough, is just the importance of good communication, and like just being so open and honest and respectful with each other in those moments of communication, and really empathizing with what's going on with the other person as well. And I think if there's something extra that I've learnt through the process of being a parent, is just how important having your teammate on your side and in the right state of mind is for parenting. Because I'm sure you guys have been through it before, when one is not in the best state of mind, maybe they haven't had the best night of sleep, or they've had a stressful day, or they're just right at the end of their tether, it's absolutely integral. Like, there's no other option really but for the other teammate to pull up the slack, or that teammate to take over, take the reins, you know, be able to support that child if the toddler's having a bit of a tantrum, and to let that other person have some time to themselves. And that power of having like a strong team as part of that parenting couple, gosh, if you didn't have a strong team, I would imagine that would be really, really tough. So that's probably what I would see as being that area that Alex and I are just always working on, and that the way that we work on that is through communication, and just knowing that if we don't communicate well, we're screwed. Like, communication is just that important, that if we're not treating each other right, if we're not looking out for each other, if we're not, you know, just bouncing off an understanding of who's got different priorities on that particular day, and really just being so fair with each other, if that wasn't going on, I think it would be it'd be really, really tough. So that's, yeah, that's probably the key thing that I think will continue to grow in, but is, yeah, so, so important.
I'm interested to circle back to that maybe later on in our chat to maybe look at a couple of actionables for anyone out there that is open to trying something different as well. That would be really cool. So if we get some time, that would be great.
Time for a short reflection break. This is an opportunity for you to stop, take a breath, and reflect on your past week as a parent. If you have a pen and paper near you, that's great. If not, simply use your phone or laptop. I want you to write down three things. First, write down one moment in the past week that you were proud of yourself as a parent. Second, write down one area of your parenting that you would like to improve for the next week. Third, write down one moment from the past week where your child or children have made you smile. Be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
We started off our chat in the realm of our kids being our greatest teachers and the lessons that we can learn from our kids. I'm interested to dive into that a little bit further with you in terms of what have you learnt from young Oscar?
Oh, so much. Do you know one thing that has really come back to me as a learning is the beautiful power of play, of just, I don't think there's many times in our lives as adults, as, you know, human beings, as parents, as employees, as managers, as coaches, or whoever we are, that we just play. And I know Brené Brown talks about, like, she, as she likes to do, if she doesn't know a definition for something, I think she creates the definition herself. And I think the way that she defined play was something around having fun without any goal in mind. And I feel like us as adults, we're always so, you know, focused on working towards something. Like, there's always a purpose for needing to achieve something or some sort of goal that's going to be met. Like, I'm doing this so that I can achieve this, so that I can get ahead, so that I can make this amount of money. And that there's not that many times in our lives that we actually take the time aside to actually just play, like to be present in the moment, to, you know, roll around on the grass together, to laugh and to, like, literally just continue that process of playing, just so you can continue playing, just so you can have more fun and you can have more joy. And you can see that it's so natural for kids and it's also really natural for animals, but it's something that we have often forgotten as adults, is just the, like, the pure, like, sweet joy of just enjoying the moment for the heck of enjoying the moment without any goal, without any purpose. And you can see, like, often we'll I'm in my backyard at the moment, and sometimes, you know, in an evening we'll get the picnic rug out and we'll literally just, like, roll around on the grass together. Yes. And you can see both Oscar and William Shakespeare, which is my massive Labrador dog, they both know exactly how to play, because they'll come over and they'll pass me toys, you know, to play with them with. And then as soon as they've managed to tug them back, they give them back again because they want to continue playing. So it's not a game of who's winning or losing. Like, the purpose of the game is to play, is to have fun. And I don't know whenever any other time in life that we do that. And I think that's one of the things that has really become, like, re-sparked inside of me since having a kid. It's just re-experiencing the pure joy of just playing.
That is awesome. I love that. Like, the way you were describing having no set goal in mind, it sounds very similar to an unstructured game, unstructured play, an infinite game, if you will, if we're talking about people like Simon Sinek, who yes. we've talked about before, and one of his books, I think the most recent one was called The Infinite Game, and it's from a business and leadership perspective, but I think there's a lot of correlations in across those different worlds, whether it be business, personal life, parenting, spirituality, whatever it may be, in terms of finding time or carving out time to simply play, like you said. And I was reading an article the other day, actually, it was by the ABC, on the power of play, similar to what you're talking about, around the differences between structured play and unstructured play. And structured play has basically a win-loss. It has clear set rules. It has clear boundaries. And it is usually educator-led or coach-led or parent-led or teacher-led for kids. And unstructured play, the core of it, without going too far down that path, is that it's child-led. And there's no win or loss, and there's no boundaries, and they are leading the play. They are leading the activity, and it's awesome because it makes me think of, it was only yesterday, we're down in the beautiful southwest at the moment of WA in Busselton, and we're at the beach in the evening watching the sunset, and Oscar and I were playing around together and just throwing shells and rocks into the ocean. He was having an absolute ball. Both of us were. And for some reason, because it was getting dark, I don't know if it was innately thought or from a conditioning point of view, I was like, okay, Oscar, it's time to go. Like, we've got to go and cook dinner and this sort of thing, because this is what we do at this time. And he just turned to me and he was like, Dad, play, Dad, play. And it took me a second, because I first said, no, Oscar, we're going to go back up. And then he said it again. And this is what we were talking about at the start, being open to those lessons that they are trying to teach us as our greatest teachers. And I stopped, and then I turned back and looked at him. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, I asked myself, why do we need to go back up? And then it was just this sort of exciting impulsive behavior of, yeah, let's just keep playing. Like, what's the reason of having to go back up? And we end up being there for another, it may have only been 30 minutes, but it was an awesome experience, and to share that with him. But the key thing out of that was that lesson again that he taught me. It was awesome.
That just gave me chills down my spine, like thinking about the beauty of those moments, that I do believe that kids can be those beautiful vessels for the little mini moments of magic and lessons that we often aren't ready to receive, because we've already got like all of our blockers up and we've got our mental models and all of that sort of thing. And I feel like kids they're such a fresh slate in so many beautiful ways, that they are so open, you know, to being ready to enjoy that beautiful moment. And I think that's so beautiful that you captured that moment and you let yourself lean into it rather than go through the usual, which would be, no, it's, you know, it's hit 6:30, it's time for your dinner. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how this life thing rolls. And instead you lent into, possibly, I mean, you didn't actually say this, but something that could be one of the best memories of your life. You know, it's when we actually lean in and we let ourselves sort of roll with the moment rather than fighting it and feeling like we need to stick by the rule book, that they're those moments that we really like cherish and treasure for the rest of our lives.
Totally, totally. It really come back to me, that personal mantra of follow what gives me energy. And it was just asking myself in that moment, what gives me energy, having to try and convince Oscar to go back up to have a shower and dinner at this set time, or stay down here and keep playing and having fun like we've been doing for the past hour. And let's be honest, it becomes a no-brainer when you actually just stop and and ask yourself those types of questions as well. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I will remember that moment in a big way, and even following on from the lessons that I learned from yourself in our coaching time together around journaling. And I think the reason why it's ingrained in me that moment is because I actually took some time out later that day or last night to be able to just whatever you want to call it, journal it, document it, just to be able to explore it further. And I know how important that time of reflection is personally, and I can see it having a lot of positive impacts for other people as well, both from a parenting point of view, but also just from a personal point of view. And I'm conscious of time. I think we're going to have to do a second part to this as well. I know we've got a bit more time, but I'd love to flag that. This has been an awesome conversation already. So to be able to get another one going soon, I think will be definitely on the cards. And to lead from that, I'm interested to know, so you've talked about the lessons that you've learned from young Oscar. What about some of the biggest parenting joys? What are some of the biggest parenting joys that come to mind for yourself, Emma?
Ooh, do you know what? I reckon the biggest joys, and this is going to sound like a little bit, cliche, but I actually feel like the biggest joys are the littlest moments. And I was even reflecting on last night, because that's quite fresh in mind, after the third settle of a absolutely screaming baby whose molars were coming through, we were laying on the bed together and I think he had just nodded off for a couple of minutes and he opened his eyes and I could just make out his features, like, because there was a tiny bit of light sort of coming through the shades. And all I could see was his little eyes open and a big smile that just came across his face. And that's all I could make out, was this little baby who is obviously like going through so much pain in his jaw and, you know, feeling really frustrated at the situation because he probably doesn't know what to do and, you know, doesn't have the words to be able to verbalize the situation. And he just looked up at me and he gave me that big smile. And just in that moment, my heart just, you know, absolutely like just melted. And I feel like it's those little moments. It's the moments where you are so deeply present and just so in that moment with that little human being. And a little human being that knows, I feel like they know the magic of life in such a strong way, and something that sometimes we forget the beauty of those little magic moments in day-to-day life, when we're going to work, when we're jumping on public transport, when we're going to the shops and we're trying to tick off our to-do list. You know, it's those little beautiful moments that I think give me the biggest joy. So when I get to look deeply in his eyes and just giggle about nothing and just giggle at the fact that we're both giggling at each other, like I just think that's the funnest, and that's probably what gives me the biggest joys.
That's beautiful. That's really cool. That is really cool. I was giggling for those that are just listening. I was giggling just then, even picturing that, and then sort of reflecting on those similar moments as a parent. They can crack you up sometimes, hey, in the most simple and random ways.
Oh my God. Damn straight.
Definitely. Definitely. But how would you describe your parenting style, Emma?
Yeah. So I don't know I don't know if there's any technical terms out there to describe my parenting style, but I would say I'm pretty child-led, so like relatively hands-off, and I'd say I really try and let Oscar lead the charge as much as possible up to a point. So I do have boundaries, and they can get pushed 100%, but I would say generally I try to let him lead the way whenever I can, and obviously life can sort of get in the way of that occasionally, you know, when you've got timelines to meet, you know, daycare days to to get them to be dropped off by and all of those sorts of things. But typically when the time is there and, yeah, God, time in itself is one of those beautiful things that we always need more of, don't we? But, yeah, that's probably how I would describe my parenting style, is letting him explore, letting him run the show as much as possible, and supporting him and guiding him when I do see him heading in a particular direction, unless it looks like he's about to put his hands in something that could cause something dangerous.
I'm really curious to learn a bit more about the parenting that you experienced as a child, and any learnings that you feel like you've taken from your parents.
Yeah, good question. So I feel like I had a little bit of a mixed bag of parenting. My mum was pretty strict and definitely less risk averse. So definitely had some really, really strong boundaries that she would hold me to, quite a strict and strong woman. And my dad was, from memory, I mean, you can never really know really, really accurately, but my dad from memory was quite relaxed, and he was much more of the belief that kids are resilient, and he would allow me to take risks in order for me to learn the lessons that needed to occur, which I think would sometimes stress my mum out a little bit. So, yeah, a little bit of a mixed bag there, depending on which parent I was with. And I guess, so the lessons that I learned from that, I think I've taken quite strong elements from my dad's parenting style. And I do tend to let Oscar take quite a few risks on his own, obviously being there ready in case he falls or in case there's anything that might occur. But I am of the belief that kids are ridiculously resilient and that they are so much more capable than we often give them credit for. And I feel like if I lead with that belief, that inherent belief that he is so capable and that he is so resilient and that he can learn anything that he sets his mind to, that I feel like he will take that belief on board about himself internally, if that makes sense. Whereas I feel like if I led with the belief that I've got to protect him because the world out there is really scary and difficult and, you know, you've got to be fearful of it, I feel like if I led with that belief, that would impact his sense of self-belief upon himself and what he's capable of in the world, and that he might enter the world with fear and anxiety. So I don't know what's right or wrong, and I don't think anyone out there does, but I do believe that the belief that you lead with will unconsciously or even consciously affect your child and their sense of belief about themselves.
There's a fine line, isn't there? Like, because that is something that I think is talked about in parenting circles all over, in terms of, okay, where I've got a really conscious parenting style, where I'm all about bringing conscious thought. And I think that's beautiful. And that's a big part of what Sandy Ball Parenting is about at the moment as well. With that being said, I'm not set on one way or the other, because at the end of the day, there's more research coming out about the people that our children become may not come down, or the type of parenting they experience may not have the influence that we think it does sometimes as well. So there's so many different factors involved, and I can see the point where I've talked to people before who are of the mindset that, yeah, it's not worth putting time into in terms of how you want to, and reflecting on that. And so I see points on both sides of the fence. If there is a fence with that type of thing, it's something that it's always changing.
It is, and you're so right. There's nurture and there's nature, right? And that different kids are going to require different parenting approaches. And I definitely can't claim to be any sort of expert. The only kid that I've ever been able to work with is Oscar, and all you can really do is, I guess, move forward with your best intuition on what's needed for that particular child, I guess. And maybe when baby number two comes.
Yeah,
that's right. And maybe when baby number two comes, I might get a different intuition about what sort of parenting style is required for them. I think even just linking into that conversation, something that's just popped up for me is the importance. Like, I don't have too many strong beliefs about what I want my kid to do in their life, what sort of life I want them to lead, or I'm going to do my best job, and I can't say I'll be perfect at this by any means, but I'm going to do my best job to try and let them lead with their heart as much as possible and try to stay out the way as much as possible, as much as I'm sure that's going to be really difficult at different times in life, but that's something that I'll be working towards. But one thing that I would love to be able to instill as a belief within my child is that they can learn anything that they set their minds to, because I know before I became a parent, I used to absolutely freak out at the thought of having a kid, and how the hell do you protect them from all of the scary things out there? And I remember joking with my girlfriends and saying, well, when I have a kid, I'm just going to have to, escape out to the middle of the bush and never let my kid see any piece of social media. I'm just going to keep them away from, all of the bad people. I'm just going to protect them from anything bad out there. That's just how I'm going to have to get around this. You know, obviously slightly tongue in cheek, but
a thought that has gone through every potential parent.
That's right. And I thought, how the hell do kids grow up in this day and age? Like, how do parents look after their kids? How do they stay mentally sane? How do they let them enter the world? And I remember just feeling really quite overwhelmed by the thought of how do you raise a healthy child in such a complex and challenging environment that's only developing more and more in different ways as the day goes on. And I had a realization that it's not about protecting them from everything. It's not about protecting them from every challenge out there, but it's instilling a belief in them that no matter what the challenge, that there is a way to overcome it, and that with every challenge comes a learning. So that will be my focus as a parent, is instilling in Oscar the belief that no matter what obstacle he faces, no matter what challenge is thrown his way, that there's definitely going to be some challenges that he'll have to overcome. But if I can instill the belief that he can learn anything that he sets his mind to, then he can learn the lessons that will need to be acquired in order to overcome that challenge. That's how I've developed a sense of peace anyway about becoming a parent.
That is awesome. Like you said, there's no set way to go about it. There's only your way. And I think it was Andrew McCutcheon in one of our earlier episodes, he was talking about it from a fathering point of view. I see there being correlation across the board as mothers, as fathers, as relatives, as friends and family, in terms of just do it your way. And there's something powerful in that, I think, in terms of there's no book, there's no documentary, there's no podcast in the world that's going to be able to tell you step by step how to be an amazing parent or a loving parent. It comes down to you being able to tap into to the way that you want to do it and the way that you think you can do it best, and just by trying to do your best. And I think that was something really cool that you mentioned before, is you just said, I'm just going to try and do my best. There's no guarantees that it's going to go this way or this way. I'm just going to try and do my best.
I'm highly likely to stuff it up.
Exactly. And again, coming back to what we're talking about before, there's a lot of, there's a big body of work out there now sort of starting to head in the direction that people are influenced by a lot of other things as well, not just their parents, in terms of the modern day environment. And without diving into that rabbit hole, there may be some real reasons behind parenting a certain style that to the naked eye would seem as though that's awesome. They're giving them love, they're giving them support, they're giving them time. And then this child who develops into an adult may go on to a path that you think, how did that happen? How did that happen with those parents? And I think there's something in that as well, in terms of the other factors, and who knows what else is playing a part in all that as well. I'm really keen before we wrap up, Emma, to go back in time with you and I'd love to know if you could transport back in time with one piece of parenting advice for your pre-parent self, what would that one piece of advice be?
Can I pick two?
Please, there's no set
just
way.
To be really annoying. So the first one is meditate. So simple, but it's literally been my secret superpower throughout this whole parenting process, and something that allows you to get clear-minded, get re-energized, get refocused in a really short amount of time. And often when you've got kids and you're slightly sleep deprived and time is not on your side, something that helps you get clarity of mind, that gets you refocused, that gets you refreshed, that gets you re-energized, oh my gosh, that is just my absolute secret sauce. So I would definitely go back and say that to pre-parenting Emma. And she did actually learn how to meditate during the parenting process. So I think that's just one that has just been so important to me.
Awesome.
And I think the other one is be kind on yourself, and just the beautiful power of love, and just remembering to lead with love, to focus on love, and just to like let that beautiful emotion help heal any frustration, any stress, any fear that's going on during that parenting process.
Another one of those moments. They happen so often when I'm having these conversations, just having to take moment just to let that sink in.
Soak it in.
I really appreciate you being so open and honest, Emma, and I've got a bunch of notes here in terms of other things I'd love to dive into with you from a parenting point of view, and there was even some things that come up that I think would be really worthwhile to chat further about too. So I'd love to have you back on for a 2.0 at some
Amazing.
Point as well. That would be
Amazing.
That would be really cool. You've been awesome with your time, and just before we wrap this episode of Sounding Board Parenting up, I'd love for you to be able to share in our segment called Time to Plug Off what where can our listeners and people out there that may be tuning in for the first time, where can they find your work in terms of, I know you were doing some podcasting, which I've been really enjoying. You're doing amazing things in the coaching space, and just, telling the audience a little bit about where they can find all that.
Oh, thanks, Sean. So I reckon the place that I probably play the most is Instagram. So you can find me there at Emma_Lou @Jess_Campbell. And that's where most of my podcast episodes will be shared. That's where you can kind of get a bit of an understanding of what it's like maybe to meet me with my son Oscar, and little snippets and photos and stuff, like little pieces of inspiration. And then also my website is probably a good place to learn more, I guess, around the find that thing, the whole idea of how to find your thing, like how to find your purpose. So the website address is findthatthing.com.au. They're probably the two places.
Put those links into the podcast episode notes as well, and I highly recommend anyone that is open about putting more time and energy into following what gives them energy into finding that thing to definitely take a further look down that path as well. And again, Emma, this has been awesome. I hope your little Oscar is feeling better over the next day or so. And yeah, I hope you have an awesome weekend with Alex and little Oscar, and look forward to our next chat.
Thanks so much, Sean. Such a pleasure. So lovely being on here. And yes, would love to be on again, because I've always got lots more to say.
Thank you so much, Emma. Talk to you soon.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening. Personally, these interviews are providing me a time to reflect on my week as a parent. Let me know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As a new pod on the block, yes, dad jokes are welcome here, it would be great if you could look out for us and share this episode with someone that you think may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and show some love with a like, follow, or comment. Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Steelo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From my heart to yours, I hope you are making progress on something you love and something that makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.